You are Locked On NBA Draft, your daily podcast on the NBA Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, yo, what up, what up? You are listening to Locked On NBA Draft, and this is your host, Rafael Barlow, from NBA Draft Junkies. Thank you to each and every person that is making Locked On NBA Draft your first listen of the day. It's honestly pretty cool to know that there are people out there who start their day by listening to little old me on their way to work. So thank you for everyone that has made Locked On NBA Draft your first listen of the day. Now, today's episode is going to be a little bit different. I'll give you an update on my travels across Europe. And in the last segment, I will share an interview from last week that I did with projected first-round NBA draft pick Ismail Kamagate from Paris Basketball. I went out to Paris and had a chance to interview and watch Ismail work out. So the video is actually posted on my YouTube channel, and it has the full workout and the interview. But I'll post the sound clips from the interview that's coming up in the third segment. And right now, I am currently in Istanbul, Turkey. It's kind of like it's like my home away from home in a sense. I lived here for about 10 months during the 2016-17 season. And actually, this is my third city in my third country in the last 5 days. And I don't want to say I'm tired. I'm just really enjoying this venture. I started this journey on November 1st, and I'm almost 3 months in, and time is flying. And if you're a new listener, I have this goal to be the best international scout. And I would love to find the next Giannis. I know it's a crazy goal, but I mean, I love international basketball and the challenges that come with the travel and projecting how a prospect may fit into the NBA. So here, I'll give you an example. In Europe, it's so much different than the United States. So in the United States, obviously, you have high school, you have college. And of course, in college, you have the different levels based off of, you know, Power Five, mid-major. But overall, it's still college basketball. And even if you're in a mid-major, more than likely, you're probably played against a Power Five school. Europe is a lot tougher because there's so many different levels and leagues. And you have situations where a projected draft prospect is sitting the bench, or he's not playing a major role on the team, or is a back-end rotation guy. So that can be a challenge to project him as a first-round pick or even as a draft pick, because you have to base your analysis on how he played the previous summer for his national team, or how he looked the season before in a division that may not have been as competitive, and he may, or either how he's looked playing against his age group. So that could be a little challenging, but it's definitely a grind. And man, I enjoy it. I'm having a time of my life right now. And I'll give you an example. Tristan Vukcevic is, hopefully I pronounced that right, is a talented 18-year-old. I think he's like 6'11". He's skilled, and his game fits the modern-day NBA. But he's hard to scout because he's only playing about 9 minutes per game for Real Madrid. And he doesn't have any recent national team games. And to this day, I'm still confused about what his nationality is. I think I saw that he's going to represent Serbia, but he has like a mixture of, I think he was born in Italy. His dad is Serbian, but his dad played in Greece. His mom is, I want to say she's mixed with Greek and something else. So he has like quite a few options of teams to represent, but I think he has decided to represent Serbia, but he hasn't played at the under 18s or under 19s. So I mean, I don't really have any recent film. I think the last time he played really significant minutes was probably during the 2019-20 season, and that was for Real Madrid at the Adidas Next Generation tournament. So this is an example of a guy that's hard to scout and project. So when I wanted to watch him play, I had to go to a Real Madrid versus FC Barcelona game. I got there early just so I could watch his pregame routine. And that was my way of getting a closer look to see if he's actually as tall as he's listed. And so it just gave me an opportunity to see him live and in person and view what athleticism and what shooting skills I could see in a pregame workout or in the limited minutes he had. Now, I obviously prefer game action, but this was my only opportunity. Now, I spent the first month in Barcelona. Actually, it was probably more than a month. I said the first 6 to 7 weeks in Barcelona. And, I mean, I was excited. I love Barcelona. It's one of my favorite cities. And the experience is good. But the travel is a challenge. And so, actually, you know, let me tell you, it's a funny story now. But Barcelona was not what I hoped. I mean, for over a year, I had been saying I want to move to Barcelona. I had been speaking it into existence, and thankfully it happened. But it just wasn't as good as what I was hoping to be. While I was there, I did get a chance to go to around 6 Barcelona senior team games, and I went to 2 games to watch their junior team. And my first game I went to, I made a mistake, got on the wrong train. And it cost me, I want to say it was like 155 euros. So it was like $178 for a cab ride because I got off the wrong train and I wanted to go to this game. And I made a promise I was going to go and I didn't want to not keep my promise. So that was a very expensive trip. And while I was there, I had a chance to scout James Nagy. And in my notes, I was a little down on Nagy because I went to go watch him play twice. And if you don't know James Nagy, which I'm assuming most people don't, but he is the international version of Memphis freshman Jalen Duren. As far as like his body type, I mean, this is like this, I don't know what his listed weight is, but he is someone that looks like he should be a defensive end. I mean, he's just, I mean, a huge physical hulking presence, if that's the best way to describe it. He reminds me of Duren, but Duren is obviously a little bit more bouncier. I shouldn't say obvious because you don't know. But Duren is a little more bouncier, and I think he's a little bit more skilled. But again, they're very similar as far as body type. Now, as far as James, I thought that his motor was a little bit up and down. I thought his post game was non-existent, and I had wrote that he lacked touch and overall feel for the game. He's still a little raw, but he's not like wild raw where he looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. So he was someone that I like I said, I was just a little bit down on him. I thought that the games I did see him play, he did make an impact, but it was due to his obvious size and strength and his athleticism. And I knew that he's going to rebound and block shots and score off putbacks and dump offs. But I can't say that I was just overall impressed with what I saw. And if I had to give him a grade, I'd give him like a C+. And this is what makes scouting so tough. Due to a few players on the Barcelona senior team that were dealing with injuries and COVID, Nagy ended up playing and getting an opportunity to get significant minutes on the senior team and a game in the ACB. And the ACB, in my opinion, is the toughest domestic league in Europe. And in this particular game, he had 10 points, 5 blocks, which is very impressive for a 17-year-old playing in Spain's top division. Now, it was eye-opening for me because I have to figure out, is he a player that's going to look better with high-level teammates? And you know that's usually the opposite, especially for a 17-year-old. Most 17-year-olds are going to struggle adapting to playing with more talent. And this is a case where he looked more energized, his motor looked better. I mean, he looked like someone that you have to really project to possibly be a first-round pick, even though it was just one game. But, you got to track his progress. And his performance also kind of made me wonder, is the gap between him and Yannick Sosa, who was a projected top-10 pick coming into the draft, is it really that wide? And I can go on, but when I return, I'll tell you a little bit more about my Barcelona experience. I'll tell you about the mistake that I made it's funny now, but for a good month, it was absolute torture. But before I get into that, I want to talk to you about Bet Online, because Bet Online would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue to march towards the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. It's a new year with a new updated desktop and mobile website. So sign up today and you'll receive 50% off your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. They have everything from football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. So do not wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers that are available in 2022. Because BetOnline is the fastest and the easiest way to wager on all your sports, all your favorite sports. And BetOnline is where the game starts. All right, I'm finished up my Barcelona story. And I said that it's a little funny. But here is something that I'm giving you like an inside detail of the life of a scout, a rookie scout that is traveling Europe. I mean, I've lived in Europe. I've traveled before. But this is my first time living over here extensively just to scout. And I ran into some challenges. So here's an obstacle that I ran into. I made a huge mistake and I got this Airbnb that the area looked nice. It was a little bit cheaper. Like I wanted to live in like the city center by the beach. But then, you know, I didn't have the budget to stay in a place that I was comfortable with. And actually, it wasn't just me. My wife is with me. And that kind of make things a little bit challenging. Not saying that she's picky, but you got to have room for two people. And I always have to consider her. You know, for me, I can just live in a small studio. So I need a little bit of space. So anyway, I get this Airbnb. I like the neighborhood. Everything was significantly cheaper from the hotel that I stayed in that was in like a touristy district to living in like a regular neighborhood. The food was significantly cheaper. But when I got the Airbnb, it did not have any windows. Now you're probably wondering, like, how in the hell did I pick an Airbnb with no windows? Now in the pictures, it had windows and it had a balcony. But when I got there, I realized that the apartment had one main door. And then it's like when you open a door and there's like a hallway and then there's like an apartment on the left, apartment on the right, and then there's an apartment up maybe like 15 stairs. So my apartment was up the stairs. And the problem was that in the picture, the windows opened up to that hallway. And then the balcony opened up to another apartment that felt like it was 10 feet away. So there's no natural light. And it felt like being in the dungeon all day long. Like I said, my wife is with me. She works remote. So I know that working in this small studio apartment with no windows was just not the best working environment. So I ended up spending like a week in a hotel that had windows just to try to make things comfortable for her. And then even for me, because I spent a lot of time watching film and editing my website and all that. And it just felt like I was in like a jail cell. Or even like when I was a kid, I had in-school suspension. It wasn't because I was bad. I just came to school late every day. I blame my father because he was responsible for dropping me off. And he always was a few minutes late. And I had so many tardies that I had to go to in-school suspension. Well, this Airbnb that I was staying in felt like a room in in-school suspension. So it was tough there. And then also the apartment didn't have a desk. And I brought like my laptop, but I also brought my desktop computer. So the desktop was not wide enough for me to have my mouse and then my trackpad. So that was a little bit of an adjustment. And then my wife needed a workplace. So I had to take the patio furniture from outside. And she used that as an office. But overall, Spain was pretty cool. I think that from a basketball scouting aspect, I think Spain has the most NBA prospects, but they're spread out all over the country. Then teams only play once a week. So when you're trying to decide which game to attend, it can be a little rough. And then it got to the point where COVID started taking over and then games started getting canceled. Then there's maybe a game that I want to go to. Then I find out fans aren't allowed. So that made it tough. And then since I was paying, I mean, Barcelona is not a cheap city by any means. But since I was paying to stay in Spain and go to games, and then I went like 4 weeks without going to a game, me and my wife decided, you know what, let's save money and let's go to Athens, Athens, Greece. Athens is significantly cheaper. So, for example, Barcelona in rent. I mean, I guess this is like, and just giving you an idea, renting in Barcelona is 71% higher than Athens. So I figured the money that I saved on housing in Athens, I could use that money to travel. And Athens is not a bad city. It has two EuroLeague teams, Olympiacos and Panathinaikos, which has been on my bucket list to go to their intense rivalry game. I've talked about it on social media. I mean, it is like a war. It is like the craziest atmosphere. I've watched it from afar. I've been to one EuroLeague game in Athens, and it was crazy. So it's on my bucket list. And then they actually played each other maybe 2 days before I got to Athens. And then because of COVID, I think they're only allowing maybe 1,000 fans at games now. So hopefully they lift that and I can get a chance to go to the game. They call it a derby when they play. But anyway, there's also like five, I want to say, high-level teams in Athens. So Athens is a good place to be as far as scouting, simply because it has a major airport. Greece doesn't have like a ridiculous amount of or high-level prospects, but it is cheaper. And then the airport is pretty convenient and, you know, it's cheap flying into Europe. Actually, I got a funny Athens story, and it's kind of deja vu in a sense because I'm in Istanbul right now. So I lived in Istanbul in 2016-17. I went to Geneva, Switzerland to meet my dad to go to a car show. And we just, you know, I hadn't seen my dad in a few months. And I had this visa issue, which was not really an issue. I'm trying to make this story as short as possible, but I had like 5 days left on my visa. And if, when you travel abroad and you don't have like a work visa, you may only can stay in a city for like six or the country for like 60 or 90 days. And I think mine was 60 days. And I think it was 90. And I was probably on day like 84. So it was time for me to leave the country, because once you leave the country, your process starts all over again. So I'm on day like 84. And I go to the airport, and then they're telling me something's wrong with my visa. Then they're telling me I have this, I overstayed, and I proved to them, no, I didn't overstay. So then they're just like, well, you need to pay this fine. So I'm like, okay, how much is the fine? It came out to the equivalent of like $30. So I'm like, okay, I'll pay the fine. But then the line was so long, and I told the guy, like, you held me up for an hour because of this visa issue, and now this line to pay this fine is long, and I'm going to miss my flight. And I got to the airport in plenty of time. And so I tell the guy, like, I'm going to see my dad. I hadn't seen him in months. And for this particular airline, it only flew from Istanbul to Geneva once a week. And if I missed the flight, then I lost my money. So the guy says, okay. Just sign this document that says when you come back, that you will pay the fine. So I'm like, okay, cool. I look at the document. I can't read it. It's in Turkish. But like an idiot, I signed it. Well, I go to Geneva for maybe 3 days, come back to Istanbul on a Sunday night, and I took the last flight in. And when I land, they tell me that I signed a document that says that I overstayed my visa, I didn't pay the fine, and I cannot return to Turkey for the next 5 years. So it ended up being a crazy situation, and they put me in airport jail. They put me in a jail. Well, I shouldn't say it was jail, but it felt like a jail. But it put me in like this room where they had a bunch of people that they may have suspected to be terrorists, or people that they basically detained. They put me in this little basement, and they told me, I mean, they were nice. They let me keep my phone. They were like, I can go anywhere in the world, I just can't enter Turkey. So I had my phone, and I end up texting my brother, and I'm just like, hey, go on this website and book me a flight to Athens. And so he booked me a flight. I mean, he probably booked me a flight at 2 a.m., and I got a flight to leave out of Istanbul at 9 a.m., so I stayed in Athens. I stayed in Athens for 3 weeks in the raggediest hotel you could ever imagine. I mean, the hotel was straight dungeon. So I stayed there. That's probably the third time I've used that word. But it was probably like 18 euros a night. I mean, it was crappy. But I didn't know how long I was going to be there. And then I only had like 3 days worth of clothes. I mean, this was a whole crazy experience. So basically, I was in Athens for like 15 days. And I had a budget of like 10 euros a day to eat. I mean, the hotel was, it was bad. It was, the room was so small, I didn't have a bathroom. So I had to like go out in the hall and use the bathroom. And the hotel was empty and it had like a community shower. But I didn't know how long I was going to be there. But like I said, it ended up being 15 days. So anyway, I said all that to say this. It's kind of deja vu in a sense that I'm in Istanbul right now. And then I'm returning. And then I was staying in Athens at that time. But now I've been based in Athens for the last month. And it is totally, totally different. But Athens has its struggles. My Wi-Fi is not really that good. And I had to get like a pocket Wi-Fi. I ended up buying like a co-working space so I could have good Wi-Fi so I could work. That led me to go to Paris, France. And I'll talk about Paris when I return. Well, thank you for making Locked On NBA Draft your first listen. But for your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast. It gives you nightly recaps of every NBA game, with analysis from our experts, our local experts. So listen to Locked On Now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and watch it on the Locked On YouTube channel, which the Locked On NBA Draft YouTube channel is coming soon. All right, so I've been based in Athens, and like I mentioned, that because Athens is a lot more affordable, I think I'm saving like, I know I've saved over like $1,000 a month between the cheaper apartment and then the money that I spent on that hotel for a week just so me and my wife can look out a window and see something. And so with all that money being saved, I decided that I wanted to go to Paris. The games in France are still being played. It just so happened to be my dad's birthday weekend, so I made a couple calls and I ended up getting the opportunity to go to a Paris basketball practice. And shout out to the staff at Paris Basketball. Shout out to the agency ComSport. And just everybody at Paris Basket has been so accommodating. All I did was make a phone call. I ended up talking to the team's head trainer. He put me in contact with the director of scouting. They allowed me to come to a practice. I got a chance to watch the practice. Then after the practice, I watched Ismail Kamagate work out. He did like a whole 30-minute workout where he showed me his ball handling, his shooting. He just showed me a lot of stuff that I hadn't been able to see in games. And I left that really impressed. So I had a chance to interview Ismail. Again, I posted the video. If you want to watch the videos, it's on my YouTube channel, NBA Draft Junkies. Here is here's the audio from the interview I did with Ismail Kamagate. Yo, yo, what up? It's Rafael, NBA Draft Junkies. Got a special guest. I am live in Paris, France with Ismail Kamagate, who I am very high on. I have him as a first round pick on my latest big board. Ismail, you have come out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
And you're rising up draft boards. Tell me, what did you do this summer to make such big improvements?
I just working hard and I got many opportunities to practice. For example, with the national team, pro national team, and after I got a competition with my team in U20,
okay.
And after I just working up on my weakness, so it means my legs and my jump a little bit.
So you were working out with the national team with Gobert and Fournier and Batum and those guys?
Yeah, but Gobert and Batum wasn't here, but the rest of the team was here.
So how was that experience for you? I know it's a big deal to be playing with the national team, and then at such a young age you had an opportunity to learn. How was that experience for you?
It's an incredible experience because you got an NBA player in practice, and practice with them, and it's another level, and I need to take off them to put in my game.
So you said that you worked on your body. I know you look a lot stronger than you were last year. What was a normal day like for you last summer?
Every day I got a lift session without the physical trainer, and after I got one practice, one individual workout with Bienvenue. And after I got a collective practice, and after the practice, another individual workout with BV2.
So, like, for a lot of the fans in the States, they're just now starting to see your name on draft boards. For the people that have never seen you play, how would you describe your game?
I'm a center point forward, but more center, able to run the floor, jump to protect the rim, and I can dribble and shoot too. I start to work on my threes, and I can pass the ball too.
Yeah, when I watch your film, and I've had a chance to watch you play live, the first thing that stands out to me is how hard you play. You run the floor hard, and you just always find ways to get the ball. Athletic, you're looking to dunk everything around the rim. But what I did not know was how well you shoot the ball and your ball handling. So, and I know you haven't really had a chance to really show it in games, but I saw you work out today. How much time are you spending working on your ball handling and your outside shooting?
It depends on my coach, because he organizes all practice, and he asked to me what I want to work. If I want to work the dribble, I'm going to work all the workout on the dribble. And if I want to work my shoot, I work all the workout on the shoot.
All right, if you had to compare yourself to an NBA player, or maybe not compare yourself, but is there an NBA player who you feel like your style of play is similar to?
Yeah, I'm similar for the moment to Clint Capela. And my goal is to look like Bam, because I can pass the ball, I can bring the ball up and pass the ball and be another point guard.
And see, like when Bam was in college, he never really got a chance to show how he could pass, but then he got the opportunity in Miami. All right, this is a question that's not basketball related. Who do you listen to as far as music? Like, you listen to French rappers? Like, who are you listening to right now?
Right now, I listen to Niska. He's a French rapper, and I listen many rappers and in French and in the USA too. In USA, I listen to Drake. I listen...
Drake's Canadian, though, but we'll take him.
Yeah.
All right, what do you like to do off the court?
Off the court, I like watch anime. In manga, like Attack on Titan, Naruto, One Piece, really One Piece, like play video games, but stay home.
All right, this is the last question. How much has Kyle O'Quinn helped you out this season? I saw at practice, he talks to you a lot. He seems to like really be a big fan of yours. How much has he helped you this year?
He helped me so much on my toughness, of my consistency, of my attitude, my body language, everything. Because he know how to do to be in the NBA, and I listen a lot of him.
All right, thank you so much. All right, thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed that interview. Again, watch the video. It's on my YouTube channel. It's it's a workout. It's the visual version of the interview. And thanks again for making Locked On NBA Draft your first listen of the day. Now, I would suggest you check out Locked On Bets. It is your daily one-stop shop for all of your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It is free, and it is available on all platforms. Once again, this is Rafael Barlow with NBA Draft Junkies, reporting to you live in Istanbul, Turkey. I'm going to a Fenerbahce game. It's my first game I went to for Fenerbahce since I lived here in 2016-17. It was a year where they won the EuroLeague and the Turkish Championship. So I'm looking forward to that, seeing some old faces. But I will be back Monday. Once again, it's Rafael, NBA Draft Junkies, and I am out.